This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
Nearly half the COVID-19 deaths were not caused by the virus. New peer-reviewed study published in Scientific Reports found that nearly half the death labels of COVID-19 were not caused by the virus. Now, this is in Athens, Greece. Cheryl Atkinson has it this morning. But it's the same thing that happened in the UK. They started taking a look at the deaths, found that, well, half of them weren't really COVID. They were just coded that way. This is the same thing that happened in the state of New York. Kathy Hochul, when she was the governor, started calling around to hospitals because she had run on reducing COVID deaths and said, hey, let's stop coding these things so it looks like all these deaths are COVID. So interesting that number keeps turning up again. Half. Why? Because the World Health Organization ended up releasing basically coding guidelines that said, and most deaths are coded the same way around the world. There's a, you know, number one factor, say it was a stroke, and then a number two factor, hey, you tested positive for COVID. When it came to COVID, both here and in Europe, if you had it at all, if you tested positive, even if you died in a car crash, had a heart attack, because you just had heart disease, or succumbed to cancer, it didn't matter. You were COVID death.
What you always said, and I thought this was very accurate, you said people were being listed as they actually died with COVID.
With COVID.
Not of COVID.
Not of COVID, yes. It is the only thing that is coded that way. So fascinating that this is coming out of Greece, and hopefully eventually we will get the same admission here, that half these deaths just simply were not COVID. And they did this on purpose to terrify people. They did. Okay, in another story, very interesting what's going on with China. Had the reports from Zero Hedge last week, half the factories have idled. They're not producing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Not surprised. And part of that, they said that the greatest weapon that Trump has is actually not the tariffs. It's the fact he keeps changing his mind on the tariffs. Because these manufacturers are like, throw your hands in the air. We're not going to make anything. By the time it comes off the production line, Trump might have changed his mind again, that's actually tactically working for him, believe it or not. They've just given up and stopped manufacturing. Half the factories are closed. People are burning them down. They haven't been paid. And China is, people don't know this, China's debt that we know of, okay, it's probably worse than this because they lie about their statistics, 300% of GDP. That's a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
That's way worse than us. Well, why'd they have to buy all that money? Well, they were weaponizing products. They were subsidizing them below, you know, right, the cost anyone on earth could make them in order to flood markets with them, shut down the manufacturing facilities, then come back and buy them. It's what they do. It's very predatory. It's not capitalism at all. And they got very leveraged doing that. So now we've got this situation where a lot of these are closed down. Gatestone running this morning, Gordon Chang, a longtime Chinese commentator, China just folded in the trade war. Couple of things going on here. China's been insisting, well, we're not even negotiating. We don't need America. But on April 24th, about a dozen Chinese officials, including high-ranking official from the Chinese Ministry of Finance, were seen entering the U.S. Treasury's main building.
Well, that says something right there.
Yes. 7 a.m. in the morning in Washington as Chinese security officials attempted to prevent photographers from recording the entry.
Well, of course they did.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in this, I didn't expect this at all. China is apparently very dependent on us for some things they can't make, I guess, or mm-hmm. haven't stolen
yeah.
the technology
yeah, exactly.
for
haven't
yet.
Stolen it yet. Yeah,
yeah, yet. And they're apparently they've leveled 125% tariffs on us, but they're not uniformly imposing them. In fact, they're now letting some stuff through tariff free. Well, what is it? Things they need: aircraft uh-huh. engines, landing gear, parts, semiconductors, medical equipment, pharmaceuticals, industrial chemicals, Let's see, medical devices. Now, they're not officially saying that they're doing this. They're just quietly doing it.
Yeah, that's
worse, he writes, and American media will not consider this possibility that any harm could ever be done to China.
Or that anything Trump does is working.
Right. Worse, China's economy is probably contracting, something evident from pricing indicators. The country is in a deflationary spiral. If you want to read about that, you got to go to Zero Hedge, because our media just won't cover it. In March, the consumer price index was down for the second straight month, as the producer price index was down for the 30th consecutive month. So look, they're hurting right now. China's in the middle of a slow-moving debt crisis. Xi, having rejected consumption as the fundamental basis of the Chinese economy, must, as a result, export more and more and more to rescue his increasingly grim situation at home. When he does it, he gets hit with tariffs. And one of the things they did not think we would do, they thought, well, no big deal. We'll just start moving all the goods through Vietnam and all of these other countries where they control a lot of the factories. We slap them with tariffs too.
Yeah, exactly.
So they are locked down.
And they are, many of them are supposedly in negotiations to stop that practice. So
yes,
we'll see about that.
That's been a huge part of it. Meanwhile, we just cut this marvelous trade deal with India. I think that Pakistani attack was influenced by China. I think that's what that was all about, if you look at the timing of it.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, they're enemies anyway, I get it, but look, just look at the timing.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it was meant to send a message. And then you had, for China, that China had a brutal weekend. Apple is going bye-bye. Yeah. Now, they're going to India. We wish they'd come here, but we also don't want to pay $3,700 a cell phone either. So I was thrilled to see this over the weekend. I thought it was a major victory, shifting supply chains from a country whose leaders want to kill us to a country whose leaders do not want to kill us. Yeah. That would be India.
And actually want to have some type of reciprocal trade.
Yes, something that makes, and are willing to sit down instead of blowing up our grid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I explained this morning. And I got kind of like, I don't know, my post is trending. They're calling me a MAGA moron. Imagine. Because I was excited. I said, this is what I voted for, moving the supply chain out of China to India. And they're like, ha ha, it's not coming here. Well, no, I didn't think all of it would come here. I never did think that.
Yeah.
Well, we've got to stop subsidizing our destruction.
Yes.
With cheap stuff.
Well, we have got to stop doing business on a regular basis in such a way that benefits our biggest economic and
enemy, yeah,
military opposition, which is China.
$70 billion iPhone cash cow gone from Beijing, goes to India. And India, you know, this, now we're seeing why India capitulated last week and slapped a steel tariff on China. I mean, understand how radical this is, okay? 6 months ago, India was partnered with China attempting to destroy our currency as part of the BRICS coalition.
Yeah, exactly.
Now India's like, yeah, China, we hate him. Yeah, hey, we're going to tariff their steel 12.5%. You're not putting it in here. You're not dumping steel in India anymore. Oh, by the way, we just cut a trade deal with JD Vance. Or they have it, I guess it's like the outlines of it. Mm-hmm. It's not finalized. This is huge, earth-shaking stuff. But again, Lee, I mean, this situation, and this is what the mainstream media will not tell you, okay, including Fox Business. It drives me insane. The biggest story with China, again, broke almost four weeks ago in the Wall Street Journal. And it was the fact that China confessed to the Biden administration that they had cyber attacked us. They are in our port infrastructure. They're in our nuclear infrastructure, our water infrastructure, and our grid infrastructure. Everybody agrees on that. From the Wall Street Journal to Christopher Wray, head of the FBI, whose parting shot as he left office was to warn us, our grid is going to get attacked by China. Why? They're in it. They're in our telecommunications. They're even in our intel agencies' telecommunications. They are stealing our intellectual property. And what, we're going to just keep buying stuff from them? I mean, this isn't even, when it comes to China, we should totally redo our trade deals with all these other countries. But when it comes to China, this is about foreign policy. This is about safety. This is life and death stuff.
Well, it's national security.
I mean, what, when China has the unmitigated gall to brag to the Biden administration, as the Wall Street Journal reported, yeah, we cyber attacked you. We lied. We pretend it wasn't us. It was us. By the way, that was punishment for you supporting Taiwan, and we'll do it again. And that's in December? In December. And what? We're supposed to just keep buying their stuff till they decide to pull the trigger on our grid? That's our plan? That's literally what these people are arguing. Yeah, we'll just buy stuff from them till it all collapses. And they steal every last bit of our intellectual property. Not a plan. So shifting all of this stuff out of China to India, that's a plan, or wherever else we want to shift it. But yeah, total win. Absolutely. I wish it would all come here. I wish we could manufacture it all here. Maybe we'll get some of it here eventually. But yes, this has to happen. Fascinating what's going on now with Russia, NATO, Ukraine, all of that. If you're watching, it's on again, off again, on again, off again. Russia comes out, makes a capitulation that looks like we're going to head toward peace, says, oh, hey, I want to freeze the lines, I want to blah, 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 and then turns around and bombs the heck out of Ukraine. It's weird, right? It looks weird. Well, it looks weird to you if you're in America because you're only getting half the story. The Ukraine war is probably the last great hoax that the media is currently running or has the ability to run. There's something interesting that's beginning to become apparent, though, from what's going on here. Over the weekend, Donald Trump just expressing exasperation with Russia. Like, why are they bombing again? And it must look strange. Why do they keep coming out saying they want peace and then they start bombing? Well, the piece of the puzzle that's missing is that every time Russia makes any kind of peace overture or offers to sit down with Trump and the gang, Ukraine and NATO go wild bombing in Russia. They've killed a lot of people in Russian territory. And that's the part that people aren't told here in America. It's just the massive bombing campaign that Ukraine, which is really NATO, has done. The period between January 1st and March 31st, Ukrainian military action killed 1,489 Russian civilians. 292 deaths and 1,197 injured, including 5 children killed in 3 months. So we just heard about Ukrainian child killed. Have we heard about Russian children? No, that doesn't get reported. And here's the interesting part about this and what's going on and what it shows. There was last week, you remember, Russia, and this happens every time, Russia comes out and says, okay, we'll freeze the lines. We'll freeze the front lines. We're not going to aggress anymore. We'll sit down for peace talks. Every time that happens, NATO and Zelensky go wild and they go on some of the biggest bombing runs in the war. Russia turns around, bombs them back because they're hitting inside Russia. I mean, you can't just not respond to that. Last week, in order to stop peace talks, they actually assassinated a Russian general inside of Russia. They just got the guy who did it over the weekend, Ukrainian. See, none of that stuff really gets reported or reported much over here. But what's going on? Why is Putin doing this? You know what Putin's figured out? You could see it's very plain. Number one, Trump doesn't have control over NATO. He doesn't. So any peace deal that he attempts to cut is going to look like this. Russia sits down with Trump and maybe even Ukraine and agrees to peace while NATO bombs the crap out of Russia and Trump can't stop it. They are out of control. What is really frustrating about that is they're doing it with our money and our supplies because they had that huge package last year. So Putin's figured that out. Number one, Trump can't control these people. In fact, every time Trump tries to negotiate peace, they go on a violent run. That's the part the American people aren't being given. But go on a violent run with what? And here's the interesting question Conservative Treehouse is asking this morning, and it should be asked. With our drones and UAVs. Wait. What? So here's how it looks to Russia. And it speaks volumes over whether Trump even actually has control of the government, which I don't think he does. And I didn't expect him to 100 days in. I didn't. I thought it would take a lot longer. Look at this headline. Massive Ukrainian drone raid on Crimea repelled, right? 87 UAVs downed over Russia. Over Russia. What were they doing? They were bombing Russian civilian population. 45 over the peninsula, which is where they have a lot of troops, military bases. Half of them over Crimea, murdering civilians. Wow, drones. Well, Whose drones? Well, I mean, theoretically Ukraine's. But I mean, how'd they get there? Where'd they come from? America. We're sending them to bomb Russia. And for this to come from Trump loyalist conservative treehouse asking this question, I know what he's asking. And they've actually got, there's a guy on the internet who tracks flights, what's on the shipments, because there's some of that has to be reported and where it's going. We are sending the Reaper drones and the fighter jets that are killing people in Russia. While Trump beats up Putin and says, why aren't you coming to the negotiating table? Why are you still bombing? Well, we just went on a bombing run. That's why. In other words, what Treehouse is asking this morning, does Trump even know that we're bombing Russia? Or Ukraine's bombing Russia with these drones and fighter jets we keep resupplying? I bet he doesn't. I bet he didn't know. And this matches up perfectly with what the New York Times just reported, which is that they finally admitted, hey, inside of a bunker in Germany, NATO, i.e. us, CIA, State Department, France, Germany, UK, and some Ukrainian officials are fighting this war with Russia. Have been the whole time. It's a war room. In other words, we're in World War II with Russia. So I think what Putin is saying here is, can Trump control NATO? Can he even cut this peace deal? Because, I mean, honestly, I don't know if he can. He could probably get him to sign a piece of paper. Would it mean anything? Probably not. It'll probably just mean that NATO, Ukraine, and maybe even our government keeps bombing Russia. Because it hasn't stopped. That's why you see Putin keep retaliating. Well, if you're Putin at this point, you're reading Conservative Treehouse. That's why I published it. You're going, wait a minute. All this bombing of military and civilian areas that's being done inside Russia. Think how terrifying that is. That could cause World War III. That's crazy. That's what Treehouse is asking this morning. It's a bombshell. What he's asking essentially is, does Trump know our government sending these? Again, I bet he doesn't. He's asking the question, does Trump even have control enough of the government to stop them from fighting this war, trying to get to World War III? I don't think he does. And that's why Putin's like, I got to keep bombing. I can't stop bombing. Every time that we say peace, the bombing escalates, civilians die, we get attacked. It turns out they're getting attacked with U.S. fighter jets and Reaper drones. Who's sending them? What agency is this? The stunning image was captured in Arizona shows a Ukrainian Antonov 225, the biggest transport plane operated by a Ukrainian transport company, being loaded with M9 Reaper drones, fighter jets, F-16-35s. Off it goes. Treehouse writes, it is alarming how President Trump is calling for a ceasefire talks with U.S. government while the U.S. government is simultaneously providing Ukraine with either fighter jets or M-16 Reaper drones to fly against Russia. And they literally last week mass bombing run Russian territory, some of it civilian. So what is, and if you read Conservative Treehouse, you know he is a extreme Trump loyalist and loves the guy. What is he saying? Let me read the sentence again because it's stunning what it means. It is alarming how President Trump is calling for ceasefire talks between Ukraine and Russia while the U.S. government is simultaneously providing Ukraine with either fighter jets or M9 Reaper drones. In other words, Trump looks like the biggest hypocrite ever, screaming at Putin over Twitter, over Truth Social, peace, stop bombing, while he's bombing Putin. Or is he the biggest hypocrite ever? Or what Treehouse is essentially suggesting this morning. He doesn't even know. He doesn't even know our government is still fighting Russia because he doesn't have complete control over our government. He hasn't managed to conquer it. Which, by the way, folks, don't take that as a criticism from me. I warned you it would be the case. I wasn't sure if we ever could take complete control of the federal government. And 100 days in, I certainly would have told you, no, there's no way we're in control. But you know what this tells us? We need to start firing. We need to go through there with an absolute harvester blade. Now, did you see what happened over the weekend? This breaks. Sundance is like, dude, Trump, you're telling Putin to stop firing and they're firing on him with stuff you're sending. You're supplying them. Did you see what happened this weekend? Pete Hegseth out of nowhere goes on a firing rampage. Susan Rice gets fired. All these Obama and Biden hold the Pentagon. All of them wiped out. $240 million worth of funding for them gone. Susan Rice screaming bloody murder. I got fired. Yeah, well, what'd you expect? Biden fired all the Trump people when he came in. Did you see all those things timed out? You know what they're doing right now? They're going through the Pentagon. I'm telling you what they're doing. They're going through the Pentagon, probably the CIA, to figure out who's supplying Ukraine behind Trump's back. Guarantee it. Now, notice what happened over the weekend. Putin came out and said, okay, I'll give you one more chance. Between May 7th and May 11th, I'm going to do a ceasefire. Now watch, Ukraine's going to hit me. And what does he mean? They're going to hit him with stuff Trump supplied. Probably didn't even know it. Well, the American Association of College and Universities just released a public statement on condemning Trump for his unprecedented government overreach into higher education. Free speech, free speech. Over 180 leaders of colleges and universities around the country signed it, including university president Jim Ryan. As leaders of America's colleges, universities, and scholarly societies, we speak with one voice against the unprecedented government overreach and political interference now endangering American higher education. So they want the Hamas terrorists and their supporters on campus to be free to take over illegally, feloniously, whatever buildings they want while terrorizing Jewish students. Folks, understand, these are people who on campus after campus had the unmitigated goal to tell Jewish students, hey, you might want to finish the semester online for your own safety, rather than using their campus police and outside police to clear their campuses. By the way, folks, of people who were camped out there, in many cases weren't even students, but were allowed to terrorize Jews. And they call this free speech. And folks, I'm here to tell you, the second that they get away with this and establishing this, this is a terrorist training and recruitment situation on our campuses. You know who they're coming for next? Christians. Same way. You're going to have you are going to have college chancellors warning Christians and Jews, hey, don't come on campus. Hamas is mad today. It might be bad for you. Here's Department of Homeland Security Assistant Secretary Trish McLaughlin explaining what you have to do as a foreign Hamas supporter here on a visa at a school to avoid arrest. It's very simple.
We are still telling students, and it remains to be true, that if you glorify terrorists, if you push Hamas propaganda, if you are supporting terrorist organizations that relish the killing of Americans, if you're harassing Jewish students, there's a very good chance that your visa will be terminated, revoked, and you will be sent back home. Students and anyone here on a visa should remember that they are a guest in this country. It is a privilege, not a right, to be here, and we will take that very seriously and revoke those visas if it becomes an issue.
How wild has this gotten? I'll tell you what Trump's trying to do. He's trying to stop universities and colleges from becoming terror recruitment and training grounds. That's how wild the left is here. Check out this headline. This is from the Washington Free Beacon. Democrat senator visits detained Columbia activist who says he can empathize with Hamas's decision to massacre the Jews. His name is Moshe Madawi. His brother and cousin were among the terrorists, the ones on the hang gliders who flew in, massacred and raped women. Praise them as martyrs on campus. You think that's not recruitment? I don't know what is. And folks, when you have one of the two spokespersons for Joe Biden, John Kirby, admitting who is funding these protests on these campuses? We're just some nice people who want to have First Amendment rights. Well, who are they? Well, Iran. It's Iran.
We've said ourselves, the director of national intelligence came out publicly and said that we do know that Iran has been funding and encouraging some of the protest activity here in the United States. Some of it. We do not believe.
Now, not all of it. He said it's not all of it, just some of it. Who's paying for the rest? Remember, Politico told us, Joe Biden's donors. So you are watching an unholy alliance to turn our campuses into havens for terror. And right now we're at the terror recruitment and training level. But it's going to get worse. You think they're going to let Christian students meet on campus? It's going to get violent. It's going to get just as violent as it is toward the Jewish students, who, by the way, have been persecuted, not for whatever beliefs they hold on Israel. We can always have a debate on that. That's American. That's not what this is. This is toehold, is what it is. Democrats think that they can coexist with terrorists. This is why they caught them at the border as illegal immigrants. Over 200 of them, 261 actually, Trump has rounded up since he took office and let them go. Some of them got social security numbers in violation of law. They think they can coexist with them. They want to celebrate them. This is where we are. For folks, this is an existential struggle for America's survival. Texture writes, if colleges and universities cannot police their campuses, then Trump needs to force them to do so or take control of campus policing. Yeah, if they want funding. And you know what? If you want to hold a terror training camp, and have in all these people who think like this, well, you're not going to get to, because we're not going to give them visas. But if you want to spread terror talking points, fine, do it on your own dime. No federal funding. Texture writes, if they don't want the government, yes, what I just said, if they don't want the government telling them what is and isn't okay, they just need to quit taking government money. Yes. Another texture writes, pro-lifers will be a target of the rent-a-mob. Another texter writes, Bill at Hillsdale, as far as I'm concerned, hit these schools with a RICO charge. We cannot, folks, again, if Hamas is allowed to do this, if Iran is allowed to do this, ISIS and Al-Qaeda are right behind. They have the same terror designation as Hamas does. Picture this for a minute. An Al-Qaeda, a pro-Al-Qaeda, pro-ISIS person, your whole family's in it, they've participated in terror attacks, and you're running around campus recruiting for ISIS, talking about how they're blessed martyrs. That's recruitment. It's so obvious that's what it is, and we won't be able to stop them because what? The legal precedent from this. And the left would love it. They would think that was amazing. Oh, what a great opportunity to experience other cultures. Yeah. But with the main guy, Muhammad Khalil, that guy, wants to destroy Western civilization. That's what his group said. You cannot coexist with that for long before somebody's bleeding. Texter writes, Tara, if Ukraine is bombing Russian civilians, this is the ideal excuse for Trump to withdraw support for Zelensky. He either resigns or we withdraw military support. Yeah, they hit, it's been over 260 civilians killed in civilian areas in Russia, 1,100 injured. Again, those are drones. So here's the problem. If Zelensky's doing this, we can withdraw support for Zelensky. Yes. But here's Trump's problem. Doing it with what? Our drones that we're sending for the bombings while Trump tells Putin to stop retaliating. That looks like we're hitting them. Folks, this was remarkable over the weekend. And you know what I think is going on here? I think this is why it's coming from Conservative Treehouse, probably the biggest Trump-supporting blog in the whole country. I think what Treehouse is saying when he writes, it's alarming how President Trump's calling for ceasefire talks while the U.S. government is simultaneously providing Ukraine with either fighter jets or M9 Reaper drones to fly against Russia. And Russia's being hit with them, and people are being killed. Both military, because we're hitting their military targets. Well, they are anyway. The Reapers and the fighter jets are. You know what it is? I bet you Trump doesn't know we're doing this. And I bet you Putin does. Or Putin's told him and Trump can't admit it because then it'll look weak. He doesn't control this. In other words, our government, which he doesn't completely control yet, is still attempting to foment World War III on Trump's watch. What a mess. It's the number one story in the nation right now, and everybody's got an opinion on it. Deion Sanders' son, Shadur, is expected to be quarterback, NFL draft, expected to be one of the top picks, but he didn't get picked until the third and final day. So 144th, they thought he'd be top five. Everybody with an opinion on this. I'm screaming racism because we just reflexively do that in this country. Never mind, that didn't seem to slow his dad down. Meanwhile, the whole thing got a lot more complicated when he gets a phone call from a guy saying, hey, you've been drafted to the Falcons. And then mocking him because he hadn't been drafted. Well, turns out the caller was a guy by the name of Jack Ulbrich. It's a prank call. 21-year-old son of Atlanta Falcons defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich. 21. Who makes prank calls at 21? Who does that? Isn't that like 11, 12, 13-year-old boys do? What the heck? Even dumber. They had an IQ test, this kid, as part of his punishment. He calls they've been given private phone lines for the draft so that, you know, it's temporary number. So the number of people who have it, the universe, is extremely small. It's not something you can really find online. Jax Ulbrich now profusely apologizing. So are the Falcons, who did not draft him. NFL's investigating how Jax got the number. Anyway, the controversy initially, though, was over the draft and why wasn't he picked? And, well, his dad's kind of a loudmouth. Maybe a lot of folks saying, hey, you know, do we even want to deal with that? And folks, here's the thing. When it comes to quarterbacks, too, I mean, it's not like it used to be. I mean, they do intensive personality testing, psychological testing. I mean, you need leaders on the field as much as you do, you know, on the sidelines. I mean, the guy had a good record. I mean, you know, got a cannon for an arm, did break record, 71.8% completion rate for over 7,000 yards at Colorado, led his team back-to-back winning seasons, yes, but not championships. So, you know, not shabby, not at all, but not, you know, totally stellar. I think what folks were commenting about is you know, this is the draft rolls around and Shadur doesn't just slide, he plummets past the second, third, fourth round, finally gets picked up by the Cleveland Browns. Five quarterbacks, guys like Tyler, Dylan Gabriel, who people say can't hold a candle to his stats, went before him. People are asking what's up with this. One person wrote on X, this isn't just the draft slide, it's a full-on character assassination. I don't know. The whole racial angle is a bit of a stretch given the NFL's history. Well, I think a lot of people looking at this is a twofer deal. You'd take dad too. And while he's clearly a great coach, he's also very flamboyant. So I don't know. It's their business. Who cares? But it's the number one story in the country. And the prank call, pretty dang dumb. You call, like, the guy is in the middle of the hottest story right now. You figure, I'll prank call him. No one will guess. How did you not see that coming? Oh, what's up with that kid? Texter writes, Tara, the phone number was traced back to Pete Hegseth. Whoa, okay, they made it over Signal. I got it. Yeah. Texter writes, Tara, he got drafted late because he's a loudmouth like his father, but not as talented. That's what I was trying to say in a nice roundabout way. Thank you for texting it to me. Texter writes, tired of the racist card. No one wants a micromanager dad. That's exactly what happened. Texter writes, who wants another kneeler? Yeah, could be part of it. But a big mess there anyway. So, hey, you know what? That'll give you the burn, won't it? Think you're going to get drafted, what, top 10? You're at 144? Come in looking like you got something to prove. Hey, it worked for Tom Brady. Okay, we'll be right back.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads. And we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.